Welcome to today's Villery Podcast. I'm Michael Hedstrom, and with me today is Sandy Villery III, Partner and Portfolio Manager here at Villery & Company. We're 1 year into the COVID-19 pandemic, and we thought it would be timely to get Sandy's perspective on the incredible stock market run since the lows in March last year, and the strong and quick rebound that has exceeded most investors' expectations. Sandy will also discuss his investment strategy and outlook. Sandy, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a question that has been asked many times during the past year. How could the stock market rally so much in the face of all the uncertainty we faced? And how could the market be so disconnected from the economy?
Yeah, the markets rallied from the lows of the pandemic in March or April of 2020, I guess, due to the incredible stimulus as well as the Fed rate backstop. The Fed has kept rates low and continues to buy $120 billion of treasury and agency securities every single month. I mean, this not only stabilized the markets, but really forced rates lower. We're individual stock pickers, and as we did a lot of our channel checks during the pandemic, we spoke to a lot of individual companies. It was very clear to us that things were extremely bad. We looked at a few medical device companies, just as an example. And when we interviewed groups of doctors, they were doing procedures, and they told us that these were basically non-essential, and their number of procedures went to essentially zero. Basically, all the resources were going towards COVID-19. You know, stocks tend to discount the future by about 5 to 6 months. So they started a rally with the assumption that things would be normal. And now that these same companies are back to business once again, the stocks hit their lows when the news was the absolute worst, but rallied well before their businesses were getting better. Stocks are always cheapest when uncertainty is the highest, and that proved right yet again.
A small group of large cap tech stock drove the market rebound during the first 6 months or so last year, as they benefited from the lockdown and stay at home orders. Then in early November, we saw a dramatic shift in market leadership when the initial positive news about the COVID-19 vaccine came out. Can you elaborate on this and talk a little bit about the stay-at-home versus the reopening plays?
Yeah, so we always avoid the herds. I mean, that's really in our DNA at Villery & Company. The certainty at the peak of the pandemic, you know, you had FANG stocks. They really worked well. That's Facebook, Apple, you know, Netflix, Google. I would throw Tesla and Microsoft in there, as did companies like Zoom. Whereas restaurants and cruise lines and casino companies or anything really tied to the reopening of the economy was basically left for dead. In fact, we had one of our favorite companies, which is Pool Corp. They really did well as people stayed at home and they swam and they used chlorine. And a lot of people just literally poured a bunch of money into their backyards because that's where they were spending literally all of their time. So that really shifted to where investors started to invest in the reopening plays as we kind of got out of that bottom. They started to buy things like, you know, casinos and airlines. I believe the recovery plays are sort of the way to go. We still like Caesars, but we continue to avoid, you know, the popular tech stocks and, you know, the stay-at-home plays like a Zoom. So that's kind of where we would be.
Sandy, after the sharp rebound since the stock market lows a year ago, we now have historically elevated stock valuation metrics. We're seeing record inflows into exchange-traded funds with a high concentration in popular stocks, very high level of retail investors borrowing money to trade stocks, and excessive investor optimism reaching what some say a euphoric level. How much risk is there in the stock market right now?
I do worry about the concentration of the FANG stocks in the market. They represent probably 26% of the S&P 500. And should they start to sell off, you know, as we've kind of seen lately with a little tick up in interest rates, as tech stocks really drop with rising rates, the S&P could fall just as quickly. So, you know, compounding that problem, we've been essentially in a bull market since 2009. And when everything goes up, you know, you may as well own an exchange traded fund because it's going to go up as well. You know, that really works until it doesn't. And I can see a sell-off just as we saw in, you know, 1998 and 1999, where value stocks, you know, come in vogue again. I mean, after 1999, the NASDAQ went down about 70% peak to trough, and value stocks did well for about 7 years. So, you know, they say that history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And I think you could see sort of a similar play out here. I just think there's a lot of euphoria in the market, and you are seeing a large retail presence come in. And I get a little bit nervous about overpriced tech stocks as people, you know, the herds have piled into that particular sector.
How much of the good news do you think is priced into the market, and what may drive the market higher?
I think that there's an awful lot of good news priced into the market. And in fact, stocks tend to discount news by about 5 to 6 months. And so as you see things recover, you got to start to wonder, has all this good news been baked in? And when you see many of these reopening plays, all at 52-week highs, all discounting a kind of a perfect scenario, it makes me a little bit more nervous. We obviously like to buy when things are a little bit uneasy, you know, and uncertain. That's when things are the cheapest. So I believe a lot of good news is in the market right here.
The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield has risen sharply recently over concerns about higher inflation, causing some concerns for equity investors. What are your thoughts on the bond market?
The bond market's seen a huge shift in rates as the 10-year has gone from 60 basis points or so, and today got to about a 1.68% on the 10-year. I believe that the 10-year does back off and comes back down a little bit as the Fed's going to continue to purchase bonds and push yields lower. In fact, the Fed said today they'll probably keep rates lower for longer, and they're talking about through 2023. I do think that if capital gains rates go back up, you know, from the 20% level now to potentially ordinary income, which would put it closer to 40%, I could see a situation where, you know, stocks are not quite as attractive on an after-tax yield basis, and investors could choose bonds over stocks. We'd need to see the 10-year go up to probably 2% or a little bit higher, and then the yield on the S&P would be about the same, and income investors could switch from basically stocks to bonds. And so that's just something you got to keep an eye on. But at this particular moment, when you've got dividend stocks and just the yield on the S&P 500 yielding north of what the 10-year Treasury is doing, then you're going to want to stay in the stock market. At the end of the day, people are going to choose what pays them the most money.
Another thing is that you've said it's finally becoming more of a stock picker's market. Why is that? And what areas of the market do you favor?
So exchange traded funds are really, in my opinion, yesterday's winners. You got to always wonder, you know, people tend to look through the rearview mirror instead of through the windshield. And I believe stock picking is going to be essential going forward. I mean, why pick a group of subpar companies when you can pick the very best companies? When everything goes up, you know, really as it has since 2009, maybe it's not as important to look at individual companies, but as valuations, you know, really get stretched and pullbacks in the broad market happen, we could see that shift to real companies with real earnings. And that's really what we're focused on. At the end of the day, stock prices follow earnings, and we want to be in the very best companies that have moats around them and trade at reasonable prices, as opposed to just the old saying that we have around here, which is to spread everything out into different ETFs and a little bit more of a spray and pray type of attitude. We like to very much cherry pick individual stories and look for high returns over the long run.
And that makes sense. Sandy, any final words to our listeners?
You know, people are worried about all of the stimulus and how we're going to pay this back. Debt is through the roof. I'd urge people to sort of understand what they own. And if they're overweight a particular sector, like technology, as many people are, I would consider buying less popular names. You know, people are always also worried about politics right now. And I think people need to ask themselves, if, for example, they own Pool Corp, will you sell more chlorine depending on who is in the White House? And the reality is, it doesn't matter. You need to focus on the fundamentals of each business. And as long as the Fed looks like they want to stay low until, as I mentioned, 2023, we're going to continue to be constructive with that Fed backstop. So we'd focus on individual stories, and we would look for good returns over the very long run. And I just tell people to be very mindful of where they're concentrated and overweight, and look to, you know, try to avoid those herds and look for the reasonably priced sectors of the market.
Thank you, Sandy. That was very informative, and we appreciate your perspective on the market.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks also to all of you who tuned in and listened to this podcast. If you have any questions or for more information and insight from Villery & Company, please visit our website at villery.com or call us at 504-525-0808. That concludes our podcast. Have a great day.